Praise his name. Let's stand together if you would. Just bow our heads, we open the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful. Every opportunity, oh God, you're so precious. Lord, you're the Father, you said cast all our cares upon you. And we're truly thankful, Lord, for your care and love in our hearts and our lives. Praying, Lord, that you would bless everyone this, Lord, gathered tonight. It's a little Thursday night service, Father. May you just meet our individual needs, Father, whatever they are. Look in our hearts, Lord Jesus. And Father, Lord, we know we will be met by you tonight. We two or three are gathered together. There you'll be. So, Lord, we with great anticipation, we're, Lord, looking and watching to see what you'll do. Oh, Father, it's wonderful to serve you. Have your way now, Lord. We ask all these things in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Always wonderful saying. You may be seated if you'd like, and turn with me in our capstone books. I'd like to. Amen. Praise his name. Page 90. Amen. God is God. Amen. You believe that? Do you make him God? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I know God is God, and God don't never change. I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God and the Father. He's God and the Son. He's God and the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. Well, I know God is God, and God don't ever change. Amen. If you believe it, sing with all your heart. And Jesus is his name. He's gone out on the ocean. He's gone out on the sea. He's gone all over creation, and he's gone all over me. Well, I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know is God, and Jesus is his name. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven, and he's God way in my soul. Well, I know God is God, and God don't ever change. God is God, and Jesus is his name. Is he God in your life? Amen. Oh, worship him. Amen. He's wonderful. Take all your cares to him. Amen. Oh, he's wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I love him. Amen. Sing it again. Well, God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, and Jesus. Amen. The last one. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven, and he's God in my soul. Well, I know God is God, and God don't ever change. I know God is God, and Jesus is his name. Amen. Oh, if you believe it, saints. Amen. Trust him. Hallelujah. Page 90. Well, no, we did. 34. Hallelujah. Page 34. It's victory ahead. Hallelujah.
When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw that victory ahead. Victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Oh, trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory ahead. David with a shepherd's sling and five stones met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw that victory. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory ahead. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day. Then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear nor dread. By faith he saw that victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory ahead. Often with the carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw that victory. Amen. Victory. Victory ahead. Oh, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see that victory ahead.
Amen. Do you see that victory? Hallelujah. By faith. Hallelujah. By page 54. Another victory song. Amen. Hallelujah. What a thought. Amen. Do you like thinking about victory? Amen.
Hallelujah, what a thought, Jesus full salvation brought. Oh victory, oh let the powers of sin assail, heaven's grace can never fail. Oh victory,
amen,
oh victory, yes victory. Oh, hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me. Oh, I am trusting in the Lord. I am anchored in his word. Victory, yes, victory. I have peace and joy within, since my heart is free from sin. Victory,
sing it.
Oh, victory. Oh, victory. Yes, victory. Oh, hallelujah, I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me. Oh, shout your freedom everywhere, his eternal peace declare. Victory,
amen.
Oh, victory. Let us sing it here below, in the face of every foe. Victory, oh, victory.
Oh, victory.
Yes, victory.
Oh, hallelujah,
I am free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me. Oh, we will sing it on that shore when this fleeting life is o'er. victory. Oh, victory. Sing it, hear ye ransom throng, start the everlasting song. Victory. Oh, victory. Oh, victory. Yes, victory. Oh, hallelujah, high and free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me. Sing it again. Oh, victory. Yes, victory. Oh, hallelujah, high and free. Jesus gives me victory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. He is all and all to me.
Amen. Victory. You got the victory in your heart tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, it's His grace, saints. In this day and age, if you got the victory bubbling, it's His mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? Hallelujah. That's the blessing, if you will. Yes. Amen. Let's talk about Jesus. Hallelujah.
Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Oh, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more.
Amen. Let's talk about Him. Hallelujah. Amen. What He's done for us. Amen. How many have requests? Something on your heart. Hallelujah. Just hold it on your heart. Amen. Brother Kevin, would you like to take the request tonight? You may be seated. Hallelujah. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? All right. Amen. Anyone else have a song? Something bubbling on your heart? Of course. Hallelujah. All these wonderful saints. He's truly everything. Amen. Let's all stand then. Amen. Sing only believe. Amen. He's truly wonderful, saints.
Only
Heavenly Father, we have come tonight, Lord, with grateful hearts for the opportunity to come and together. For Lord, you said where two or three are gathered in my name, there you'd be in the midst. And Lord, we're so thankful that, Lord, you've never left us, you've never forsaken us. And Lord, you've always been there right on time when we needed you. You knew what we needed and when we needed it. And Lord, even tonight as we stand here, Lord, your holy presence is here with us. Lord, each one of us has come, and each one of us maybe has something on our heart, Lord, and you know all about us. And Lord, you're here to meet and answer anything that we would have.
Yes.
If we truly will pull on you, Lord, and ask you to speak to us.
Amen.
For Lord, though I may have come with some precious little words to speak, but Lord, you can sometimes, you have other ways of speaking to our hearts and doing things, Lord, that moves in many ways. And Lord, we just want to be a people that's open to you, Lord, and receptive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That, Lord, through all things, you would receive the glory and the honor that's due unto you. And, Lord, we just thank you for this chance. And then we ask you, Lord, to bless your word, strengthen it to our hearts. And, Lord, just to have your way in this service, we ask. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
Amen. He's so precious. While you're still standing, let's just turn our Bibles, read a very familiar scripture. Just have a little exhortation this evening. Got a lot missing, and you know, but thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to come and to worship him, to feel his presence. Amen. You know, it's been a little while since we've been here, and this may not seem like much tonight, but just a little exhortation, some thoughts that was on my heart, and some things I was thinking about, and just thought I would renew our minds to it tonight, and maybe the Lord will strengthen us with it. Our brother's read this many times over very recently, but in Romans, the 8th chapter, if you would. And let's just read from that 27th verse on down to the 30th. And he searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. May the Lord add the blessing and remings, where you may be seated. Amen. You know, many times this scripture gets read, and all throughout the world and throughout the land. And it's quoted many times that we know that all things work together for them that love God. And everyone thinks that that's for them. But you know, as the prophet came in this age and the word began to come forth, each one of us should be able to sit here tonight and to be able to read that scripture with the understanding of the things that's been brought back to our remembrance here and see that God only, all through the scriptures, you can pull out one scripture and maybe make it look like it, this. But you have to take the word as a whole. And if you take all of the word, he said, he that loves me will keep my commandments. And that's not just one of them, but all of them. And as we've been gathering here and we gather around the word and we've been following this message, you know, oftentimes it's wonderful to go along and to tell someone there's been a prophet come in this hour. And oh, you should hear the things that he brought. And all of these great things. And we see it go on throughout the land. There's many people following a message that a prophet brought. And as we said here, we claim to believe that he was a prophet and the word that he brought. We claim to believe. But nowhere do you see that we was to be conformed to just a man's word or a church word or a doctrine of any sort. But he said he predestinated a people to be conformed to his image. And how as you go, we've been taught, and we can go back through the word. If we turn over to Romans 12th chapter and read a very familiar scripture. And he's here 12:1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say, through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And as I just thinking upon these things, and as you begin to see people, they go to church, and they attend services, and they can tell everybody about this message. And we, too, can do the same thing. But I wonder, is it becoming a reality down in our hearts that we were sent to be conformed not to this church or what our pastor has to say as far as a man, but what God has to say to us as a little elected bride? He said he predestinated a people to be conformed to his image. And I believe our pastor is fivefold ministry and been sent here to help perfect that little bride. He's been sent here to be able to do a work. But it takes the very word that he is speaking is not his word. That's not the words of William Branham. It's not the words of just a church. But it's the word of God that's being rehearsed and renewed. Yeah. By the renewing of your mind, be conformed and be transformed. Don't be conformed to this world. And look at how pure and unadulterated as we've come here. God is his own interpreter. He don't need no one to interpret for him. Let me just read that. I think, amen. This is in the rapture on page 15. Just listen how Brother Branham says it here. He says it many places on page 15 in the rapture. God don't need no interpreter. He is his own interpreter. He does his own interpretation by bringing to pass the things that he said would happen. Like in the beginning, he said, let there be light. And there was light. That don't need any interpretation. It was vindicated. And now he promised certain things in the last day scriptures. And why there it was. How Jesus was the Son of God. He promised ascending. And when he was in his days here on earth, the people couldn't believe him. And he said, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. And if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do, because they testify who I am. In them Wesley's age, the works that he did testified who he was. In Luther's age on Reformation, why sure, it testified who he was. In the days of the Pentecostals, the restoring of the back of the gifts, the restoration of the gifts, and speaking in tongues, casting out devils and the gifts, why it testified. There was no joke about it. The people, when it first raised up, I've read books of the history of Pentecost, and they said it can't last long and it'll burn down, but it's still burning. Why? Because you'll never put it out. God said it would be there. And it's that portion of the word, and no more could you put that out. Then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? It's the revelation of the manifestation of the word made true. And we're living in that day, praise be to God, the revelation of the mystery of himself. And how the prophet came on the scene, and I want you to look back, and we look back at Luther's time. And we can see how God said he would restore, and we can see his word was made manifest in Luther's time. And we see those people. That wasn't just Luther's message. That was God's message at that time that began to reform and to build back and to bring back those things that he said would be here in that day. Amen. And we can follow it right down. And we see Wesley come on the scene. He was the reformer at the time. But it was God's word in his mouth going forth that was bringing a people and building that back to where it was. We see Pentecost come on. Where did that all generate? Look back into the scriptures and you can see every word that was lived through those people's lives was in that scripture and written in this Bible. Who is this? Jesus Christ, the Word. Laid out. You can look back in their lives and you see they weren't just expressing a church. Yes, they went into a denomination and then that began to express a church. That began to express a creed and a man's doctrine. But the Word of the time and the age for which it was sent manifested God and God alone. And how the Word has come down in this day. And many people hear it, and all they can see is there was a prophet came. We're rehearsing what the prophet said, but we're not rehearsing just what a prophet said. But we're re-listening, we're renewing our minds to the things that Jesus said. Renew your mind and be transformed. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but more so as you see that day approaching him. Why? So he can have the control and the leadership of us presenting our bodies to him and coming under subjection to him, that he can bring that precious word and begin to mold us, trim out anything that's been in there that shouldn't be in there. And the message conference is here. This was preached June 8th, 1963. Very familiar little quote, something he's read many times on page 12. In the old days, the only way they had to separate, he's talking about nowadays here in the gold state of Arizona, in the old, they got smelters. Now, to smelt out the iron and the pyrite, what's called fool's gold, melt that out from the real gold by a smelter. In the old days, the only way they had to separate it was a beater. And they beat the gold with a hammer like the Indians beat it. And the only way the beater knew when he had the gold ready, the only way the beater knew that the gold was ready was when he'd beat all the dross out of it. And he would beat it and turn it over, beat it and beat it until all the dross went out. And when he seen his own self reflect back into that gold, he knew then that all the dirt, the iron, and the foreign matters was out of the gold. And that's the way God is trying to do his church, is to beat it till all the creeds and the nonsense and all of the world is beat out of it till it reflects back the life of Jesus Christ. And how we can see that, saints, the churches as a whole, as you look around, you can begin to see they're not expressing the word, but you see flesh and carnality and things of the world being church world. They're churchgoers, and you see that taking a hold of them, and that's beginning to take hold of them. But what about the life of Jesus Christ being made manifest? You know, it's easy to pick up this book and to take it over to my children and say, this is the word of God, and you should do this, and you should live by this, and this is what we're going to do, and this is, and we can tell them all about it. But if it doesn't reflect back through our own life, if I don't live it, what truth, what proof do they have? But the Holy Ghost is a true witness of this word. And it will bring to pass every word in its time and in its season and prove that God said there would be an elected lady that would be conformed to his image. She'd be transformed by the renewing of her mind. And all these trials and tests that come along, as we sang the little song last time we were here, God on the Mountain. It's easy to talk of that faith when you're up on the mountain. It's easy to say I've got all faith. It's easy to say I'm a message follower and I believe this word. There's going to be a rapture. It's easy to say and believe all that. I believe I was predestinated and I believe all these things. But let the tests and the trials come that pull you down into that valley, that pull you down to where it's reality. And then where do we stand? Is our life shining back forth that my testimony was just not words? But it's still reaching back out that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at the word. Look at the word, how it's come. And it's beat us, so to speak. But cut and come firm and hard to show us and to get, burn that greenness out. But then watch the Holy Spirit come in and polish it up. And bring a message that's maybe not as hard and as cutting. And polish that up and then look. And be able to look back and see, oh, there's another spot. And then watch the word come right back in again, hard and firm, and begin to cut and trim and beat it out of us. That's God's grace and mercy to us as individuals, that we can be here at this time and see God working in our lives. There's so many people, they just go to church because they should. They're not concerned about reaching a goal. They're not concerned about being like Christ. They're just concerned with being a message follower, being a churchgoer. I've got a good pastor. I've got good friends I go to church with. I've got good brothers. But there's got to be more than that in a people's life. It's that bride, the invisible union of the bride of Jesus Christ, him coming in, making himself visible through that little bride, his works, his actions. And I wonder as we pass through life, you see so many that's lost that vision of their goal. They've lost their ambition and their drive for what they were sent for. They don't want the word to really cut on their life. They don't want a close walk with him. They don't want that in their life. They want all they can get of the world and the pleasures of the world. And church becomes a burden. It's, oh, tonight's a church night. We've got to quit this and we can go to church. Oh, I went and can't go to church that night. I got to do this. But it comes down to the point. We only need one service. That's all we need to go to church a week. It's easy to be a Christian when you only go to church one day a week. And anymore, I've never seen people, they don't want to live close to where the church family's at. They want to live away and stay away so nobody knows what they're doing in their life and they don't have to give an account to nobody. It's easy. But there's a people, they're not concerned about what people see in them and they're not concerned about what people think about them, but they got one heart and mind, and that's for Jesus Christ to be reproduced in their life and their lives to be a reproduction of his life, 100% living out through them. And oh my, how that ought to burn, as I said, is our brother brought the little text he did last Thursday evening. How we should be searching our lives and weighing ourselves up by the word and not leaning to our own understanding of am I all right? But leaning into the word and saying, Lord, show me that last little place that needs knocked off. Amen. Don't let me fail to miss one thing, Lord, that shouldn't be there. Send the trials my way that'll show me where my breaking point is, that I can mend that chain. I can mend that spot that it'll hold and be more firm for him. But oh my, I wonder if we think about it that way, or we just, it's wonderful to feel the blessings of God and to come in and worship Him and praise Him, and we should. But am I just want that portion of it, or do I really want that light to shine down into my heart? Hey, amen. You know, as we mentioned the man, I thought I had the book with me. I was going to read it, where he had the dream, and he stood before that great light. And oh my, and the question was just asking him, have you ever told a lie? And how I wonder if you just go back and take the Ten Commandments, each one of them, and we would begin to read them and just ask ourselves, have I ever lied? Where do I stand? But by God's grace, we see the blood has covered us. But am I keeping my life? Is it showing that I understand that by His mercy and grace I was predestined? There's been something come down on the inside that's in there that I wouldn't try to mislead anyone in any way. That it's burning there, that not just a lie, but oh, to make sure that everything is honest in the sight of all men. I wonder how real every word has become to us. And is it really, really meaning a lot more to us and burning down in there? Or do we just kind of fall into that category of churchgoers, just following the message. We got a good pastor. We really appreciate him. Really glad he's here, and I'm glad to be where he's at. Or is there something more burning into us that we see that he's a messenger that the Lord has laid into the heart to give and bring and renew our minds back to this precious word, that by him bringing it out, we could sit here as recipients with the Holy Spirit pouring down into our hearts and anointing in there, revealing the word to us and making it come alive in my heart and in my life. Amen, saints. There's many people throughout the land. Their hope is in a man. Their hope is in a church group. But it is my hope in the Christ, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And how we ought to each one be longing more and more to see Him made real and alive and burning in our hearts. Amen. Let me see here. Amen. But you know what, the test should come. And I like how Brother Branham said this in Three Kinds of Believers on page 15. Sometimes believers are put to the test. Not sometimes, every time. For every son that cometh to God must be chastened and tried and child trained. Remember the trials and the dusty roads, the hot sun of persecution. But the loyalty of your heart beats that material till she is ready to go into the molds. God's children is made up correctly on His word, for they are living examples, and the word of God living through them. See, the trial comes to shake you, to put you to the very bottom, to see where you'll stand. And they tested and try every son that cometh to God. Job went through the trials and the test, his children taken, everything else taken. The church members come and accused him of being a secret sinner, and tried to say everything against him, but yet he wouldn't listen to any of it. He knowed he had met God's requirements. He knowed there was no need of Satan trying to tempt him. He knew it was the devil, and as long as Satan can make him believe that his sickness was his God's doing, he had Job whipped. But when Job once struck that revelation that it was not God, he was only going through his trials to make him something. It wasn't God doing it. It was Satan doing it. And that same thing he'll try to tell you, these trials and things is your God trying to put punishment upon you. It ain't so. No, sir. It's Satan doing that and God permitting it to temper you. To make you see if you're tied to this earth by earth cares or whether your treasures is in heaven. For wherever your treasures is, there you are also. That's right, your heart is where your treasure is. And how we ought to be so appreciative when we can see these tests and trials come. And maybe I fell, maybe I faltered. But by God's grace, it gives you the strength to get up and say, Lord, I'm going to tighten the link and that'll never happen again by your grace. And how that overcoming, being in there, should bring that assurance as we can see it. Maybe the same test come again the next week. But yet an overcoming in there that'll overcome that thing. And you can see it and pass it. And then know that he said it's the overcomer that I'll grant to set with me in my throne. Yeah. How all of this word should become more of a bigger picture to us. Just not a little word here and a little word there. But the scriptures as a whole should become such a reality into our lives and our hearts. Amen. And how we ought to cry out and ask God, Lord, don't let us be and become hardened, as so many have, and thinking they're all right, they don't need nothing else from God. They're born again, they're free from sin, they're on the right road, that's all scripture. But your life has to manifest that's all been taken a place and applied in it. And we must be on that road. How every word, it's just a book, it's just a scripture, it's just a word, but if it's spirit and life, if it comes with revelation down on the inside, and it will bring life. His word is spirit and life. But put in the right ground in the right condition, it will bring forth a conformed image of His Son. It'll bring this body under subjection to every word and make it live and manifest. and it'll be a reproduction of himself and a life lived forth to express to others that Jesus Christ is alive today. Amen. So many are just getting into the rut of, oh, just one service, just this, just that. I don't really need to go to church. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again, but fail to see all of God's word that must be fulfilled. God has a purpose in all things. There's a time and a place, reason that the door is open, that you can go and gather. There's a time and a reason why maybe this brother gives up and gives a testimony. This sister gets up and sings a certain song. God has a time and place for every one of us. And we may sit here as individuals and say, well, I don't do nothing. I just come here and sit. But what if God was to lay on your heart? Maybe you can't carry a tune in the bucket. But if what if God would lay upon your heart to sing a song? Your heart to sing it. Maybe not ask everybody else to sing it, but just out of love for your God and between you, you would get up to sing a special and watch the Holy Spirit get into that song and go out and bless someone, touch someone, meet someone else's need in their life. That's the same way it is with the ministry. They may come with a message that they feel they're going to preach, and God can move and intervene and bring something that was totally off the table for one person to strengthen them, to encourage them, to push them in the right direction for what God has. And that's the reason it must be the leadership of the Holy Spirit every time we come in here, each one of us. It's not a certain group sings a special, certain brother's going to preach with. We come and do what God wants to do and let God have his way. Each one of us, if God lays something upon your heart, if it's a testimony, if it's something you feel you should share, raise your hand. Don't be backward. We're brothers and sisters in Christ and a family here growing together with one goal and objective in mind, to make heaven our home and to be a people that will finish this work and to press and to be encouraged one to another and to make sure that each one of us is climbing and moving on with Jesus Christ 100%. Amen. Amen. A lot of little things there. It may not sound like it's all together, but saints, when you look around and you see people that are losing their drive, they're losing their ambition for God, they're losing what they had in their heart, how it makes us want to cry out, Lord, don't take my portion from me, Lord. But give me what they've Amen. Lost, Lord. And let me press harder and more fervently for you. Amen. Amen. How many times is it you think of the scripture where Jesus said, many shall come in that day and say, didn't I prophesy in thy name? Didn't I cast out devils? And how we see it, I'm a preacher, I'm a singer, I've done this, I do that, but it doesn't, none of that has any effect if the literal life of Jesus Christ does not manifest back through us. It must be his life on display and him alone. Hey, man, you sisters can come to the instruments. I'm not going to hold you very long. Just a few words of an exhortation, something to stir your minds with and to maybe prepare our hearts that maybe Sunday we'd come with a true hunger in our hearts asking, Lord, speak to my heart. For whatever it be, whatever your will would be, Lord, let that word come and search my heart. Search me out, Lord, and know me. You know what? It's easy to look around and to begin to, oh, I look pretty good compared to that person. And you know, oftentimes it's easy to pass judgment on someone else because they're not doing something the way you do, maybe. But as long as what they're doing still lines up in the Word, be careful that you don't judge too quickly. But we must make sure, sometimes if we'd spend more time making sure our skirts wasn't defiled, we look at our own doorstep and sweep our own doorsteps clean, God could help us a lot more. But sometimes we're looking, trying to sweep everybody else's clean when we need to sweep our own clean. And God knows all about us, saints. He knows every time we come in. And that's why the word comes. Every time we come, we should be coming with that desire. Lord, you show me my short place. For Lord, there's room for me to climb. There's room for me to grow. And I see it. And by God's grace, I know that I'm going to reach that full maturity in Jesus Christ by his grace. Why? Because he predestinated it to it. And his word don't need no interpretation. Everything he predestinated a seed of grass to bring forth a blade of grass, it's brought it forth. He predestinated an acorn to bring forth an oak tree, and it's brought it forth. He predestinated a people in this age to bring forth himself in the literal life of Jesus Christ, and it's going to come forth just the way he said it would in the people's heart and lives. Somebody's been sent for that, and that people's lives will be just like that blade of grass. Whether it's this tall or this tall, it's representing the life that was within it, showing and bearing forth that it will be exactly what it was predestinated to be. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Just a few words, but I pray it's something that will stir your hearts, make us press on harder. Amen. You know, we should be so thankful for what God is doing and all we have here. Yeah, we're not a big group, just a few of us. And maybe a lot of times people won't come around because, well, you know, they really kind of believe this and they really kind of believe that. That don't worry me. That don't bother me. I can't go on. I'm going on with Jesus by myself. If need be, we all must serve the Lord. But I think of this little song. Amen. Let's see if I can find it here. I was kind of singing a little bit ago. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know where that little song's at, Brother Kevin? We're part of the family.
Oh, that's in the pamphlets, I think.
Oh, is it? Amen. I thought that was in the big book. Or God's family, maybe that's what it's called. Maybe that's what I couldn't find.
The very last page.
In the pamphlet? Amen.
We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, sometimes we cry, sometimes we share heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all God's family. When mother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together last verse. Some pass before us, we'll all meet again.
Amen.
Just inside that city, as we enter in,
said, this ain't the only little church. And we don't feel we're the only little people. But God's predestinated a people to hold to the genuine, true word of God. No interpretations put to it, but just the way God brought it. And I just pray that God will open up our hearts greater to that every word, to where we're lacking, that every word would be reproduced through these bodies of clay, that life would shine forth so bright for Him, that everything that we do, you could see Christ in it, and not just some organization or some church or some man's idea, but the Word of God shining bright and true. And you know, I thank God that He brought me out of the miry clay, and how He's guided my footsteps and brought me through all that He has, and the Word that He's placed in my heart. And I pray each one of you can see the same in your life, that you can see where God has truly led your path and brought you through. And as the scripture said, for no man to think higher than he ought to think of himself, but think humbly, as God has given grace to every man. And how, when you truly see that by God's grace, He's opened our eyes to the Word, and you can see that you have a desire, that this world is growing strangely dim, and the things here don't hold no value, and they're not drawing your attention. But we can see a land beyond the river, and a time and a place where we're all going to gather over there and be with the One that's died for us, the One we feel even now speaking to our hearts, and we can feel Him here with us and know that He's here. It's going to be a reality one day. All of the old are going to be young. There'll be no more pain and no sickness, no death. A land of true joy and peace. Oh, the half has never been told. And I wonder, do we really think that land's there and we're headed there? Oh, you can do many things in this life that, boy, this is a nice place. Look at the mountains. Look at the trees. But there's nothing here going to compare to the beauty that's over there. And I thank God for the day when this is all going to be over. And we're going to sit down over there. What a day it's going to be. Amen. I'm looking forward to it, saints. And I pray that'll always be my desires. Not what I can be here, but what I can be over there. Amen. Just press on for what God has got for us in store. But to be what He wants us to be here, that He can show that little bride off one last time before all over this earth it's going to come to that stage of maturity. Oh my, may we be one. Amen. May it be burning in our hearts. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time as our brother comes. We'll ask Brother Philip to come up and dismiss us.
Sometimes we laugh together.
I just want to say a little something here in light of what Brother Timothy's message there tonight. My wife and I was, I believe, talking the other day about how that the different churches and how that there seems to be people's not going to church like they used to. And we run into a man today that his father was a Pentecostal preacher, and he knows about the Pentecostal way. I don't think he's going to church or anything right now. I don't know. It might be wrong. But we got to talking about the same thing. And how that even the churches in Logan, the denominational churches, they're falling away. They're closing their churches, and they think they don't have to go to church and all that. And, you know, we have to be careful in this hour. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, it says that except they're coming or falling away first. Amen. I believe this is a falling away time. Amen. I believe it is. And I believe we have to be careful that we're not following just a message and a messenger. We better be careful that we're not following Christ. And we come to that same place. See how they're beginning now? They're thinking they don't have to go to church. They can just play the tapes or play the disc or listen to the radio or whatever. And we better be careful we don't fall into that same place. Amen. I mean, God warning us. Amen. To be careful that we don't get in that place. Satan's out to destroy.
Amen.
Take your victory any way he can. You better be on guard. Better be on guard. Hallelujah. Blessed be. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so glad that we can be here tonight, Lord, and gather together to worship you. And we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, Lord. And it seems to run right along with some of the things that we've been noticing within ourselves, Lord, in this day and age that we're living in. Dear God, I pray that you help us, each and every one here tonight, Lord. My God, to get our minds and our hearts and our thoughts upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word, my God, and be careful, Lord, that we don't get carried away, not only, my God, by faith in some man, Lord, but, my God, the faith in the things of the world and the cares of life begin to choke us, Lord. My God, we begin to take part in this and take part in that, and we find out we don't have time for you, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you help us, each every one, to be on guard, Lord. My God, and be watchful every day, Lord. My God, we might not be caught up in that falling away. My God, unless we be, that we will not be caught up in that verse, Lord, except there be a falling away first. God, bless us tonight, Lord. As we leave this building, Lord, keep our minds and our hearts stayed upon you, Lord. Thy God, keep us, Lord, to thy grace and thy love and thy mercy, Lord, that we'll not be in that falling away in this hour. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.